Father, I again take a moment to pray as we go to your word and open up your wisdom to us. We ask, Lord Jesus, that you would accomplish all that you want to accomplish in our lives, that today, Lord God, we would grab on to these nuggets of truth that you've given us, allowing us to sense your presence, be in your presence, hear from you, and respond to you, Lord God. And we pray these things in your powerful name. Amen. Well, last week at this time, planning to come to the pulpit, end up with a medical emergency, and find out that someone almost lost their life. I don't think we realized those that were here as no pulse, gray in color, sweaty, unresponsive. I don't think we realized how close that she was to heading home. And I think the lesson that was for all of last week was to enter into worship and to realize that God still does miracles. Amen? Because we were ready to put her on the floor and do CPR. And all of a sudden she responded. And it was because people were around her praying. And I think that if we learn nothing from last week, that God still is in the miracle business, that God is still in the caring business, and God is still in the business of showing believers how powerful he is. Amen. As we go to the lesson today, if you turn to Exodus chapter 3, we're going to be looking at finding God in the wilderness. And if you think about that, we all have wilderness experiences. We all have times where we feel like God is so far away. We feel like times where God is not listening or we're not saying the right words, but no matter how you want to say it, it's not clicking. It's not coming together. It's not meshing together. And this morning, we're going to look at the encounter that Moses has with God. Moses doing his normal thing, doing his thing, living his life the best that he could, and God shows up. Amen? Living life, doing the best we can, and God shows up, and it becomes a God thing. How many need a God thing? Amen. How many need God to just show us and allow us to sense his presence, allow us to experience his presence, allow God to do something fresh and new, because this old living life as normal is not working, has got us tired, has got us looking to him, and sometimes heaven just seems so brass, and we're searching for answers. And as we move towards Easter, and as we move towards reflecting on the cross, and as we move towards looking to the cross, we want to experience Christ. Amen. We want to have something fresh and new at this season of time. We don't want the same old, same old. And we realize it's a journey, and we realize that we're blessed coming to the cross. We're blessed hearing about the cross, but you will never be so blessed until you experience the cross, until you experience the things of God and reach out and experience them for yourself. So this morning, I begin this way by saying, you determine whether you want to experience it from a distance or you want to experience it firsthand. Somebody should say amen. Somebody ought to say, yes, I want to experience it. I don't want to keep my distance. I want to be blessed, and I want to be experiencing all that God wants from us. I think most people live in a rut. You can say amen. I hear your voices. I talk to you on the phone. I hear things that are said before service. Most people live their lives in a rut. And what I mean by that is that most people are not experiencing God. They're experiencing life, the normal, and they're experiencing the same old things, the same old way. And you know, if anything was different about a person, society has this terrible way of making them fanatics, holy rollers, those that, you know, are way off the deep end, those that are out of touch, and even sometimes they go as far to say they're hypocrites, because you remember when that person was a kid, you should have seen that person. And they don't realize what God has done, and because they see things in a different way, if they see that God is moving in a different way, or it's talking to them or wanting them to experience more of him, the society wants to just come at them, wants to you know, say that it's not for real, there's something wrong with them. You know, the more that they want to point people to the light, the more they allow God to make changes. People are in a rut. Society is in a rut. God doesn't want you to live in a rut. Say amen. You know, one person has said that a rut is a grave with the dirt kicked out of it, and I believe that's true. Some people are walking past their rut just waiting for somebody to kick them down in. There we go. Kick them down into the hole. That got somebody awake. I want more, don't you? I want to experience more. And you know, when we look at this passage in Exodus 3, you'll see in a minute, but Moses didn't have an easy life. Here he's born a Hebrew child and raised as an Egyptian prince. And he didn't even realize that as a kid and as a baby that he was floated down a river. And doesn't realize the sacrifice that his mother made so that he could live a life and not die. He didn't realize that even as a young adult, and he fights for this Hebrew, that now the Egyptians hate him and the Hebrews don't trust him. Now that's the quick version of Moses. But Moses had a story to tell. He had things to share going on in his life. There was things that were God moments that you could see right to not dying and the sacrifice that his mother made and all the things that have to take up his life. And we pick up his life here in this verse as a sheep herder for his father-in-law Jethro. His normal day where God changed his life. We all want these aha moments. And we want them to come from God, right? We all want these aha moments. And you know, am I right? I mean, that's what we want. But we want to experience it in our own way. And God says, you know what? You're going to experience me as you surrender to me, as you come to me, as I show you these things, you're going to experience them. And if you're really, truly going to know me, then you're going to have to be listening, and you're going to have to be sensitive, and you're going to have to sometimes lay aside some of your own thoughts and ideas so that you can truly hear what I have to say to you. So we pick this up, Exodus chapter 3, starting at verse 1. I'm going to read down to verse 12. Now Moses was tending the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian, and he led the flock to the far side of the wilderness and came to Horeb, the mountain of God. There the angel of the Lord appeared to him in flames of fire from within a bush. Moses saw that though the bush was on fire, it did not burn up. So Moses thought, I will go over and see this strange sight. Why the bush does not burn up? When the Lord saw that he had gone over to look, God called to him from within the bush, Moses, Moses. And Moses said, here I am. Do not come any closer, God said. Take off your sandals, for the place where you are standing is holy ground. Then he said, I am the Lord, I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. At this, Moses hid his face because he was afraid to look at God. The Lord said, I have indeed seen the misery of my people in Egypt. I have heard them crying out because of their slave drivers, and I am concerned about their suffering. So I have come down to rescue them from the hand of the Egyptians and to bring them up out of that land into a good and spacious land, a land flowing with milk and honey, the home of the Canaanites, Hittites, Amorites, Perizzites, Hivites, and Jebusites. And one person has said termites, but and now the cry of the Israelites has reached me, and I have seen the way the Egyptians are oppressing them. So now go. I am sending you to Pharaoh to bring my people, the Israelites, out of Egypt. But Moses said to God, who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and bring the Israelites out of Egypt? And God said, I will be with you. And this will be the sign that is I who have sent you. When you have brought the people out of Egypt, you will worship God on this mountain. Can anyone say amen to that? God's plan was to punish Egypt, deliver the Israelites, and bring his people to the promised land. And God still desires that for us today. God still desires to punish sin, wants to deliver his people and bring them eternally home, and then allow them, even while they're here on this earth, to be empowered to make a difference in people's lives, to allow people to know the Lord. And good leaders and God's people are often those that came out of life's trouble. Say amen to that. God uses people that have lived out their life experiences and then serve God through them. Great leaders of God have often that want to see justice and righteousness and the things in this world. God uses their passion to bring these things to pass. And God, Yahweh, here in the Old Testament, initiates the special relationship with Moses. And you see these things on as Moses is commissioned by God, and God leads him into this experience. He's on the backside of the desert. He's going through a backslidden time in his life. He's in the middle of this everyday business, and the angel of the Lord shows up and gets his attention through this burning bush. And Moses goes to investigate it, and he wants to see why this bush won't burn up. And God gets his attention that way, and God speaks to him in the bush. He calls him by name, Moses, Moses. He calls him twice so that he can sense that it's an urgent call. And Moses responds, here am I. I would have not probably said, here am I. I probably would have said, see you. Running and not knowing what's going on. And Yahweh sets a boundary as he calls Moses by name and says, Moses, this land that you're standing on is holy. When you come into my presence, it's a holy experience. And Moses, because he knew the Old Testament writings, because he knew the Torah, because he knew the law, he knew that he can't even look at God. Because God, in his holiness, could kill him. Moses takes off his sandals, which is a show of humility. It's a show of submission, and it's a show of respect. And God, in that time, identifies himself as the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, showing him that I am. I know you're scared. I know you're confused, but I am the God of your ancestors. I am the one that is speaking to you. And Moses recognizes it, hides his face, and realizes that he's having this God moment. And in this commission of Moses, God says to him, I see the Egyptian oppression that's going on Israel, and I hear the cries of the Israelites, and I'm sending you to make a difference. You get that? Moses, in your everyday life, you're not perfect, and you're not my perfect pick, but I am picking you. and I'm sending you. You know what? Everything was probably all right with Moses until God said, I'm sending you. That's probably when Moses said, could you say that again? I was confused and scared at Moses, when you called me by name. But now that you're telling me that I'm going to be the one that you send to change a nation and a circumstance, I must have heard you wrong. And Moses comes up with these two objectives. He first of all tells God that he's inadequate of being the leader, and you could say amen to that. Any one of us that get a call from God for something that he desires to do, most of the time we are inadequate to do it. There would be always somebody better that he could pick, but he doesn't pick. And then he wants to really understand about this authenticity of this encounter with God. And people haven't changed their excuses today. Say amen to that. People have not changed their excuses today. On the run like Moses. Wondering why, you know, God would even call them. On the run like Moses. On the run like Jonah. When he didn't want to go to Nineveh because he had a thing against Nineveh. The people of Nineveh. Wondering, you know what? Oh, God, you don't understand. You're asking me to do this? You know my heart, God. You know I don't even like these people. God, you're asking me to do this? Don't you know I'm busy, God? Don't you know that I have something else I could be doing? See, all of us have these kind of burning bush experiences, and it's how we respond or what God is trying to say with these things that are going on. Now we don't all have the dramatic, literal burning bush. We don't have somebody going and calling out our name in these situations, but we know and sense God. We know that God is calling us to something that's bigger than ourselves. We know that God is calling us as believers. We have a responsibility to the lost souls in this community. God is calling all of us. You don't need to wait for God to call you to tell you that you should be talking to others about Christ. You don't need God to give you your name and say that you should be caring and set up ministries that reach out into this community. That is God already calling us. That's already the call that we got that's been accepted when you said, I am a believer. Somebody should say amen. Because it's the truth. And as we look at these things and as we reach out and as we see God doing these things, and I realize that, you know, my first encounter with God at 14, and I've shared that experience and making fun of him and talking about Billy Graham and God getting a hold of my heart and changing it. There was no way that I could ever be the same again. And we've had these burning bushes experiences, and yet we put them back in the back of our minds. And then I think of the second time when I was in Corpus Christi, Texas, just starting out in ministry, doing the course of study, sitting at the dining room table, 1983. I know it. I never can get it out of my head. God fell fresh on me at that table. I dropped to my knees. I never sensed the presence of God that much in all my life. I will never be the same again. I will never be able to stand before God and say, I haven't heard your voice. It's our burning bush experiences. We've had them, but we sometimes just try to put them aside. Or we say, somebody else should be doing that. Or that's not my job. Or I'm too busy. All of those experiences that I had, I didn't know what they meant at the time. All I knew is I had to respond. Amen. Moses was at that burning bush. He didn't understand all of this. He didn't understand the principles of why that bush wasn't burning up. But he knew it wasn't ordinary. And he knew it was God. And he knew there was something going on. And at the time when some of these things go on, and even in my own life, you have God speaking to us, and we pretend like we didn't hear him. I've made some bad decisions in my life, and it's because I purposely tuned him out. And I believe some of them have cost me in areas where God wanted me to do something and it didn't happen. And my only prayer now after the fact is, God, I hope that you send somebody else to take care of my lack that I didn't do. I would never be the same. And some of you know exactly what I'm talking about. You know that burning bush experience that you've had. You know what God has called you to do. You know what you need to do. You know how important it is that you're the one, even though you feel inadequate, even though you feel like there could be someone better, you're it. God has called you to do it. Once you have that encounter with God, you will never be the same. And I believe the church, we don't talk about sanctification enough. The point where God changes us from where we're at to where he wants to take us, and where we experience that part of God and getting in his presence, where we no longer want ourselves to be the focus, but God to be the focus. We no longer want to do what only pleases us, but we want to get to the point of pleasing God. His desire becomes our desire, and our desire to make disciples, our desire to see converts, our desire to see God change people. We will not be able to stand before God and say, I didn't know, or I didn't have time. We are teaching sometimes a religion that says, come and be safe. Come and be safe. Some come in here and hear a message of encouragement and go out and just live your life where there's no transformation. Salvation is a starting point. You say amen to that? Salvation for the believer is a starting point of what God wants to do in our lives. We're on our way to heaven, praise the Lord, but there's more that God wants to do in our lives. Believing without following is not following. It is all about religion. There has to be a transformation. Perhaps we've made it too easy to come to church just to be entertained. Perhaps the Christian in today's society is more like the world than of Christ. And Christ is calling us out. Calling us out to have those burning bush experiences. God called Moses to a task, and it was humanly impossible for him to do that on his own. Amen? Ever been there? Ever had that conversation with God? Even when it's in a place where God says, go talk to that person, and you freeze up. But God is still asking you to do it. He's still asking you to share your experience. He's still asking you to share your faith. He's still asking you to share your fellowship where you worship. God calls him to a humanly impossible task, but promises him that he will be with him. See, God didn't call all of you to be pastors. He didn't call you to be me, and he didn't call me to be you. But he calls each one of us individually to be who we're supposed to be. Moses gave excuses, and we use them today. God, you don't understand. Yes, he does. I'm not qualified, I know. They won't believe you, yeah, probably. They won't listen to me, yep. I'm not a good speaker, yeah, I've heard you speak. There are a lot better people than me, yes, there is. But I choose you. I pick you. I want you. That sounds like a Rocky movie. I want you. 40 years, Moses was in the wilderness. He's 80 years old, still tending sheep for his father-in-law. You talk about a bad retirement plan? He had it. He had it. He expected that day to be no different than any other day. But when God shows up, normal just became abnormal. Ordinary just became extraordinary. And usual just became unusual. Why? Because God showed up. We need God to show up. We need him to be all that we're supposed to be. We need to be praying. Not that God just shows up because he's here. You're getting the message. You can't deny it from now on. You're hearing the message. You're hearing the call. You're hearing as a believer that what the things that we should be doing. So it's not that we should be praying that God shows up. He's here. Our prayer ought to be that we respond. That we're looking for the Lord to do these things. And my question, are you looking this morning to respond to the Lord? Are you willing this morning to acknowledge him? Are you willing this morning to allow your attitude to be changed? Are you allowing his purpose to be your purpose? And when God shows up, your life can be changed. Another person's life can be changed through you as God uses you. See, Moses' life was never the same because he heard God. He was sensitive to what God was saying. He responded to God. He was obedient to what God wanted him to do. And then he goes on to fulfill his purpose. And as I close this down, you know, Moses was on the backside of the desert. Trust me, I have been to the backside of the desert. Anybody know what I'm talking about? It's a dry period of time. It's a time where we don't feel like God is listening. But I want you to know those are the times that God is listening and cares. And sometimes we are only a moment away from God doing something tremendous and we fall impatient. Or we're not willing to change something in our lives. Or we're say we trust you with everything, God, except this. And God says, that's what I want. And when we give it to him, we begin to see these blessings pour out. We think sometimes we're too old or we've too young or you know, I've blown it. His day was normal, but when God showed up and when he was truly listening to God, he'll never be the same. The great thing about God is God uses broken things. I'm one. You're one. Every one of us has some area in our lives where we're broken, and God can use those things. Fact is, if you don't think you're broken, most of the time God's going to have to break you so that he can get you to the point of being broken so that he can use you. Less of self, more of God. Think about that for a moment. Some of us have had, and I'm closing, some of us have had that burning bush experience. And we cannot outrun God. We cannot change the fact of what God has said to us. He cannot change the fact that we need to respond. We cannot change the fact that we're not going to outrun him. And we need to be sensitive to what he's saying to us. And some of you have never had a burning bush experience. My question to you is, are you sensitive and open enough for God to have that kind of relationship with you, to be able to have that frankness to speak to you like that? Have you taken the time in God's word? Like I said, there's some things that God says in his word. He doesn't need to give you a personal invitation. You have it. It's right here. Of what needs to be done and what needs to be said and how we should act, what we should be speaking to. If you've never responded to salvation, today would be a great day. For those that you come in contact with that don't know the Lord, I give you a list that I'm asking for 3 to 5 people that you're praying for and asking to be in service on Easter Sunday, and those that you're wanting to see salvation, I want to join with you in prayer. To see God do something amazing. You will not hear the voice of God if your heart is not open to receive him. If your heart's not sensitive to what God is trying to tell you, or it's sensitive to the things that he's already said to you and you've said no to. Moses discovered, and each one of us needs to discover, that he desires to have an intimate relationship with you. Intimate relationship with me. Can speak to our heart. Psalm 51 is a psalm where Nathan approaches King David with the sins that he's committed. And David has a change of heart. I won't read all of it, but I want to read a couple verses here. Verse 1, have mercy on me, O God, according to your unfailing love, according to your great compassion. Blot out my transgression. Wash away all my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. Then in verse 10, he says, create in me a clean, pure heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit with me. Do not cast me from your presence or take the Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me a willing spirit to sustain me. Verse 17, my sacrifice, O God, is a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart, a heart that you won't despise, God. Moses' first objection of the call is, who am I? Who am I to do this? Unworthy, unprepared, inadequate, and fearful. If we only knew who we were in Christ, if you only knew and knew the power that you have in Christ you would realize that you're not unworthy, you're not unprepared, you're not inadequate, you're not fearful, but you would be worthy, you would be prepared, you would be adequate, and you would be courageous. God specializes in impossible. Can you say amen to that? God gets honor and glory in impossible things. That's why he says, you weren't the perfect pit, but you were my pick. And I will be with you. Could we set this community on fire for God if we would get a heart for God? If we would be sensitive to what God wants to accomplish? If we would take some of our things of priority and roll them into the things of what God's wanting to do in our lives? If we wouldn't live on the backside of the desert, where would God have us? Anybody out there? Where would God have you? If you've been on the backside of the desert so long, where would God have you if we surrendered all to him and allowed him to do what is needed in our lives? Amen? Father, I thank you for your goodness this morning. And you've spoke to each and every one of us. Each and every one of us needed this message. Each and every one of us needs to hear and experience you firsthand. Each and every one of us has a call, a purpose. And yes, we're unworthy, we're unprepared. But Lord God, you make us worthy because of your Son Christ. You make us prepared because you give us the Holy Spirit. You make us all that you want us to be because you promise us that you would be with us. I'm praying, Lord God, that in the next few days as we put these lists together of people that we're praying for, that, Lord God, that we would see some amazing things that you're doing in people's lives as a testimony and an honor to what you're doing. And we will give you honor and we will give you praise. In Jesus' name, amen.